Hello, my name is Cliff Langley. I live in Esco, Minnesota, near Jaycote State Park and the St. Louis River. Quick few things before I read my piece. My piece is about whitewater kayaking the St. Louis River at the peak of the 2012 flood. And I just want to put out there a disclaimer that I've already been paddling for like almost 20 years before we did this, so I'm an expert paddler, and so are the other people I was with, so it's not just something that you just randomly do because you could die. Also, I mentioned CFS, which is cubic feet per second. That's a way to measure the volume of a river. So just thought I'd throw that out there. My piece is called Unleashed, the Primal Call of Gitchigami Zebe. The scene was familiar and foreign all at once. It felt like we were floating in a parallel universe. The river began to accelerate, drawing us towards a massive wave, easily 25 feet tall. The immensity of it all seemed surreal as we drifted in our kayaks towards the mammoth wave. We were experiencing the power of nature in one of its rawest forms. At that moment, the St. Louis River was unleashed, untethered, and beyond control. 48 hours before, on a late June night, over 9 inches of rain had fallen within the St. Louis River watershed. A large basin of over 3,600 square miles was completely inundated in heavy rain. The vast spruce bogs and peatlands near the headwaters were saturated beyond their capacity, and every tributary was flooding its banks. Landslides and washouts were commonplace throughout the watershed. Below the Thompson Dam, the lower St. Louis River was a raging, seething death torrent. Huge logs were tossed about the canyon walls as exploding waves rose and fell tens of feet in a moment. Water was beginning to flow over the section of the Highway 210 bridge, normally dozens of feet above the river. In Jaycote State Park, the swinging bridge was crumpled and twisted, then washed away. It was the peak of what would be deemed the 500-year flood. The flood had reached its peak, and the extent of damage had been done. We certainly did not know the cost or extent of the damages caused by the flood at that point, but risk to human life had subsided, and it seemed that the Thompson and Fond du Lac dams would hold. At this point, being experienced whitewater kayakers and having paddled the St. Louis River at flood stages in the past, we wanted to experience the river's immensity. Our past experiences wrestling big water in the St. Louis River was in the 25,000 cubic feet per second range. CFS, cubic feet per second, is a means to measure the volume of a river. Above 20,000 CFS, the St. Louis River is considered to be at flood stage. At these flows, the upper St. Louis River had exhibited massive waves and huge holes, certainly retentive enough to deal out a beating. You would be lucky to survive if you swam on the St. Louis River at such a flow. The flow that evening was over 55,000 CFS. Experienced big water boaters would advise it best to stay in the middle of the river at such a high flow to avoid logs and powerful and turbulent eddies. Additionally, large features like holes are likely to flush you out in the middle, in theory. So this was our plan for a 55,000 CFS run. Our party of three, Decker, Professor Z, and myself, put on the river in Scanlon, Minnesota, 4.5 miles upstream of the Thompson Dam. The typical whiskey-colored water, stained from the tannins released by decaying vegetation in the peatlands upstream, was more of a milky brown from all the sediment. Once on the river, it was less than a minute before we were doing the limbo under the I-35 bridge. We looked back at the bridge, knowing that we'd literally passed the point of no return. Now it was full commitment to flowing down the middle of the river. Paddling through the trees at such flows would be death. Big waves were sure to be down the middle, and big waves are usually fun. A moment later, the current had brought us to the canyon. The previous rapids had been washed out, and the river was flooding the forests. A massive diagonal wave, some 10 feet tall, was breaking off the left canyon wall. We charged into the massive feature, then paddled and braced away through a series of turbulent waves, many over 10 feet tall, tossing us in all directions. These would serve as our warm-up for the challenge ahead, the Electric Ledge. The Electric Ledge Rapid at typical summer flows is a fun Class 3 featuring a tongue of water that drops quickly into a powerful wave. The rapid is sculpted from ages of water dropping over, into, and across tilted ridges of the Thompson Formation bedrock. The steeply slanted ridges were born from compressed sediment of 2-billion-year-old seas that had been forged through millions of years of heat and pressure into the metamorphic rock known as slate. Tectonic plate movements from the north and south faulted the bedrock and pushed it into and up onto itself. At 55,000 CFS, these ridges would create gigantic waves and holes. In the middle was the biggest of these waves, a gigantic wave some 25 feet tall and at least as wide. Decker was the first to ascend the steep face of the wave, then disappear over the top. Professor Z was close behind. As he neared the crest of the wave, the top third exploded violently, tossing it backwards into the air and out of sight. I climbed the wave, charging as hard and as fast as I could as the wave was about to break again. I fell off the backside of the wave into the air. The moment of free fall lasted only an instant as a huge wave hit me from the side. The surge immediately sent me 20 feet to the left. The next several hundred yards consisted of huge 10 to 15 foot waves surging and breaking in all directions. Tossing us about like bobbers, I could occasionally see Decker and Professor Z. The river accelerated into one last fluffy wave created from the river flowing over an island that usually stood a couple of dozen feet tall above the river. Past the last wave, we floated and looked at each other in astonishment. We had made an hour-long run in less than 15 minutes. Soaked and stoked, our risk had been rewarded, thanks to experience and some luck. I felt grateful for the opportunity to experience the river in its ancient form, perhaps similar to its flow some 6,000 to 7,500 years ago, as the ice dam that plugged the St. Mary's River broke, draining Glacial Lake Duluth. Glacial floods scoured the 2-billion-year-old rock as Gitchikamizibi drained into Lake Superior, further sculpting the unique rapids and landscapes we see today. As the first peoples came to these shores, had they seen the river this powerful? They had certainly seen and lived with it, untethered by dams and modern technologies, and knew intimately its power. On that June evening, we rode upon the river's primal scream, a reminder of its old age and its youth, and of our insignificance in both power and time.